All right. Merry Christmas, everyone. Can you believe it's this week? Woo! All right. How many got all your shopping done and wrapping done? Yeah. Well, look at you people. That's because Taylor didn't buy anybody anything. But I'm kidding. I know you bought me something, so thank you. I'm kidding. Today, we're going to finish up the Uncluttered series as far as on Sundays here. We have one more left on Christmas Eve. And don't forget our Christmas Eve services, 2:30. And 4 o'clock, we have two of them. We'd like you to go online or call the church if you can't figure out the online part. We'll get you added. Just to know how many are coming to each service and be properly prepared for it and do everything we need to do to make people in public health department happy. And more importantly, to make sure we have enough candles for everybody. So just let us know if you're coming to which service. It would be a big help. And they have been very, very hard at work planning that. God has been at work this week. If you don't believe me, just ask Joyce Roberts when it comes to this service, and she will tell you how God has been working. And Christmas Eve is going to be, it's going to be a time where we're going to really celebrate the birth of our Savior. So if you can, come out. If not, remember at 4 o'clock, we will stream that service, so it'll be available online as well. All right. Today we continue it. Make room for mystery. Make room for mystery. When I think of mystery, I think of a little joke. It's a story about William Phelps, who taught English literature at Yale for 41 years until his retirement back in 1933. Now, one time shortly before Christmas, he was marking up examination papers and grading final papers, and Phillips came across a note on one of the tests, and it said, "Professor, this is a mystery to me. Only God knows the answer to this question. Merry Christmas." Well, Phelps graded it, and he returned the paper to the student the next day with a note. And his note read, "Well, God gets an A, you get an F. Happy New Year." Now, I enjoy a good mystery. I don't enjoy one that involves who drank my last extra sweet tea out of the fridge or who put the milk carton back in the fridge, amen? The empty milk carton, that is. I don't enjoy that mystery. But I do enjoy a good mystery. And as I stand here to wrap up this morning, everything we've been doing in the whole service today, I struggled writing this little devotion. I just couldn't get past the definition of mystery. And the usual definition of mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. Something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. I just couldn't get my head around that definition in terms of talking about the birth of Jesus. I guess today I just don't find the story that hard to understand or explain. And I may be in the minority here, and that's okay. I just have never seen the account of Jesus' birth in that light of that kind of mystery. At least, not since I was a little kid and Dad used to read the Nativity story to Emily and I. Back then, it was a mystery. But now I just seem to get it. But the things I remember from when I was a kid that were mysterious to me and always were exciting when Dad was reading the story were a mysterious star in the sky, never seen before. Mysterious visitors from the east that were following that star. Mysterious visitations of angels. Mysterious dreams and visions. And the mystery of choosing a virgin woman to carry baby Jesus. And the last major mystery I remember when Dad would read the story from that first Christmas night, and the one some right now, even in this room today, will say is the greatest mystery, and that was the incarnation. God would come to earth as a human, as a baby, and eventually would suffer and die and bear the sins of everyone, even those who despised and rejected him. Now, I will admit, I did used to think that that was the greatest mystery of Christ's birth. I mean, it's almost impossible to understand why God would do this, why he would do this, why he would make himself human and be a sacrifice and allow his son to be the sacrifice for all of us. I mean, I get why. I mean, I've read John 3:16. We all have. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have what? everlasting life, eternal life. So I understand why, in that sense, he did it. And I understand that he needed to do it for that reason. But having now been a father, I don't get it. I can't imagine allowing my son or daughter to be tortured in that way. Knowing I could stop it at any point. Knowing he or she, I could stop them from death as a God. I can't imagine allowing that to happen. I can't imagine loving everybody in this world so much that I'd let my own child be a sacrifice. I can't understand, or rather back then I did struggle to understand why God would even come up with this plan. He's God, there's got to be a better way. But then I heard a story. There was a pastor from a small rural congregation who visited an old farmer from time to time in an attempt to share the gospel with him. And each time the farmer would tell the pastor, "Look, I believe in God. It's impossible not to when you look around at the beauty of this earth and the way in which life is created." The farmer said, "It's just Jesus. I just don't understand Jesus. Why would a perfect and all-powerful God have to come down as a man and then die just to make things right?" And the pastor would try to give him an answer every time, and there was just none that the farmer found satisfactory. Nothing seemed to satisfy the farmer. Then one night, as the farmer was sitting in his living room, he heard a thump on his window. He went to see what it was, and outside he saw a group of birds floundering in the snow. They were trying to get into the warmth of the house, but they just couldn't figure out how. So they were going to be there in the snow, and they were going to die. So the farmer went outside, opened his barn doors, and turned on the lights in the barn. And he tried to herd the birds into the warmth of the barn. Now, Jordans, I know you guys have some chickens. How easy is it to herd your chickens? See? See? Thank you. Thank you. So he's out here, wild birds, he's trying to, you know, get them into the barn. And they're just scattering and going in different directions. And the more he tried, the more they scattered. At that point, the farmer threw up his hands and thought, "If only I could become one of them, then I could lead them into the warmth." At that moment, the light turned on for the farmer. He had an epiphany, and he fell to his knees and accepted Christ as his Savior. He understood at that moment why Jesus had to come to earth, be one of us, to show us God's love, to be an example of what God's love looks like, to be an example of how we should treat one another, to be an example of what true sacrifice looks like. Jesus had to come down here and be that example. God had to come to earth, had to come down for a visit so that we would follow him. Once I've heard that story and looking at that first definition that I just read, I now know why that God would even think about sending Jesus down as the sacrifice, sending Jesus down as the baby to be born. It's no longer the greatest mystery to me. Now, as for all the other mysteries I mentioned earlier that were from the story, the star and everything, I realize now who's behind them all. It's God. God is behind them. It's not hard to explain. Why was there a star? God. He created it. That's why there was a star. Why did visitors follow that star? Why were they wanting to find out what was behind the star? God tugged at their hearts. Why did the angels speak to Mary and Joseph? Why did they have dreams and visions? Why did they go to the shepherds? Because God told them to. Why was Mary and Joseph chosen as the parents? Because God created them in the womb of their mothers. He knew who they were going to turn out to be. This was his plan. God is the master plan creator. And he knows the reasons why. So I just don't think of those as mysteries anymore. Rather, just not fully explained to me. He knows why, but he's never fully explained to me. But it doesn't change the fact that he loves me, I love him, and I want to follow him. I don't need to know those answers. You know, if you want to, you can ask when you get to heaven. That's fine. I don't think you're going to care, though. I don't think it's going to matter anymore. So I struggled saying, we need to make room for mystery. How do we need to make room for mystery? So I kept studying. I kept researching. I kept praying. Then in my studies, and thanks to the hand of God, I'm sure of this, I came across a biblical definition for mystery. Here it is. Any truth that is divinely revealed but otherwise unknowable. A truth that is revealed divinely, and otherwise I'd have no way to fathom it. That's it. That's the mystery. That definition of mystery. The truth is revealed by God opening up the curtain for us, by showing us the plan. And the minute I read this definition, it was as if the cloud cover opened up. The sunshine came in right through the church walls. I had my epiphany. Thinking about that definition and Jesus' birth, it all became very clear. We not only need to make room for that mystery, we need to accept that mystery. Colossians verses 26 and 27 says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I love the way the Message says this. This is the Message version of those same two verses. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just the Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our marriage. Or our message, sorry, marriage. Our message. That's the gospel, folks. So how is this truth, the truth known to Christians as the gospel, and the mystery, the greatest mystery of all? First off, it's for all, and it was revealed in the birth of Jesus. That started the whole revelation to us. The curtain began to be opened by God the night that Jesus came to this earth, the night he came down for a visit. The greatest mystery that was revealed to all of us is that God came to earth as a baby. He grew up in this human world, living a life of perfection. But that's not just it. He lived a life of sacrifice, of love, of looking out for all. And then he suffered and died and bore the sins of every single person, even those who still despise and reject him, even today. He did all of that. And that is the great major mystery. The great major mystery is the gospel, the mystery that everyone needs to make room for. And here it is. Christ lives in all who accept him as Lord and Savior. And all who do that can look forward to hope, to the promise of living eternally with God in heaven. Now, isn't that a mystery worth making room for? Amen. And it all started with that incredible, miraculous, mysterious account of Jesus' birth. And you can find it in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. But today I'm going to focus more on Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And if you want to follow along, you can open your Bibles, go to your phones. But we're not going to put the words on the screen, because I just want you to listen to the story. The story as I kind of tell it in my own words. So here we go. At that time, the government and all its knowledge and all its wisdom, decided to have a census. And they decided that when they took the census, everybody needed to return to their towns of their ancestors, where it all started for their families. That's where everybody must go. Whether you live there currently or not, you had to go to that town. Well, a man named Joe. Joe was a descendant of King David. So, of course, he must go to Bethlehem in Judea, which is where David's ancient start home area all started. So he had to head there. And so he had to travel the 90 miles by foot or by animal to get there. Didn't have a convertible. Didn't have a truck. Had to walk or take an animal to get there. So, to get to the census on time, he packed up. And, of course, he took his soon-to-be wife, his fiancée, with him. Oh, by the way, just to make this trip a little more fun, his fiancée at the time, actually, Mary, is pregnant. Pregnant. Now, I can see all the women in this sanctuary right now are thinking, no way. You ain't getting me on any kind of animal, or I ain't walking 90 miles when I'm about to give birth. But they did. And she went. And they went together those 90 miles. And when they finally got there to Bethlehem, it was time for the baby to be born. Oh, goody, Mary probably thought. Well, they checked out all the hotels, Holiday Inn, Hampton Inn, you know, all the good places. And they were full. There was no place for any of them to go. They didn't have even a closet for any of them to sleep in. There was nowhere to go. So finally, one of the hotels said, well, we got the stables in the back for the animals. And they said, we can put you back there. So that's where they went. That's where they had baby Jesus. That's where the baby was born. And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths. There was no crib. They weren't in the suite, remember? So she laid him in the manger. Or as our animal friends told us this morning, the baby was swimming in their food. And while that was going on, that very same night, in a field just over the hills outside of Bethlehem, there was some sheep herders in a field nearby keeping watch over the sheep at night, trying to get them ready, keep them all safe and during the night so they could graze and go out in the morning. When all of a sudden, there was a light in the sky and an angel appeared to them. And the cool thing about this angel, it wasn't just a light and angel. They could feel God's glory. It was radiating from this angel around them out in the middle of this field. And they were there. And of course, I would have been, and they were too. The sheep herders were scared, were trembling, probably down on their knees and scared. And the angel could see it. And the first thing the angel says is, look, guys, don't be afraid. I got you. Don't be afraid. Nothing to worry about. I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to bring you good news. I'm here to share it with you. It's going to be great joy for everyone. For everyone. Tonight, down in Bethlehem, the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah has been born. You will recognize him. Now, this is the part. You will recognize him. Look, he's just going to be wrapped up in some cloths. He's just going to be hanging out in the trough. He's going to be laying in a manger. That's how you're going to find the new Lord, Messiah, and Savior. And then, the angels probably thought that was it. Oh, no. An army of angels show up in the sky, praising God, saying glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Wow. When the angels finally left the sky and the shepherds pushed their jaws back up, they stood up and said, we got to go. Let's go. And they hurried down to Bethlehem. They went down to the village to find Mary and Joseph. And when they ran, skipped, jumped, however they got there, when they got there, they found him just as the angels had said. He was lying in a manger. And they did what? Man, they worshiped him. They took it all in. And then after they'd spent time there, they went out into the town and they started telling everybody about what they had just seen, what the angels had told them, and it was exactly as the angels said. And this is the cool part. Everybody they told the story to, at the very least, was astonished by what they said. Astonished by what they said. And Mary, oh, mothers, you guys do this, I know. But Mary, she just kept everything she saw and that happened in her little brain journal in her mind. And she pondered on that all the time. She thought about everything that had been happening and everything that she had seen. She just always thought about that stuff. And she just remembered it all. And she knew, She knew this was the Son of God. So the shepherds, after getting through town, riling everybody up in the middle of the night, I mean, they were excited. They went back to their flocks, and the whole time they're glorifying, praising, singing to God for everything they had just seen and heard. Could you imagine a bunch of shepherds just walking through the streets, saying, "Glory to God in highest. Hallelujah." That's probably where it came from. Hallelujah. They were just out there singing and praising God. That's the first Christmas. Isn't that an amazing, awesome story? It may be strange. It may be not the way that most mothers have a baby. And it may be mysterious. And it is for sure a miracle. But there is still one mystery that I struggle with understanding. And most of the time I can't fathom it. And to me, it's just the most intriguing mystery, but it's not within the story I just told. It's this. Why has that account of Jesus' birth to some people become just a story? Why is it just a story to tell or read? You know, it's Christmas Eve. I better read the Christmas story. Why has the single biggest mystery, the divine revelation in all of history, become ho-hum or boring, even to some Christians? You heard that story. There ain't nothing boring about it. There ain't nothing ho-hum about it. Folks, we are called to share that story. Read it, make it your own, but share that story. Now, I do have to say right here at this moment, if you remember the scripture I read in the revelation of the mystery, that everybody, before you can share the mystery, the gospel, you must at first accept that mystery. You must accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. We must accept that God has revealed, starting at the birth, the greatest story ever told. To steal a movie title. Remember, it doesn't matter what you have done or where you've been or what kind of guilt you feel from the choices you've made. The baby that was born in a manger is bigger than all of that. And his mystery, his gospel, his story supersedes anything you have ever done in your life. And if a baby can be born to a virgin, and God can come down to earth for a visit in the form of that baby, can grow up, see all the stuff we deal with every day, can show us how to live a life for God, can then take an unimaginable beating, torture, die on a cross for each and every one of us, there ain't nothing in your history, there ain't nothing in your past that he can't overcome. So once we've accepted the mystery and we've taken Jesus as our Savior, and if you've already done that, then you're already ready. You're ready for today's takeaway. You are ready to do your part when it comes to the mystery. Your part for God's kingdom. The takeaway from this service today, it's more than just making room for the mystery in our lives and during our Christmas celebrations. The takeaway is this. We must share Christ's history and share the mystery. We must share Christ's history and share the mystery. And it's not just a commandment. If you've read, just starting with the birth, and there's so much more to Jesus' life, but we're celebrating his birth. If you just read it, how can you not get excited about wanting to tell that story? How can you not want to tell your kids? How can you not want to tell your neighbor who doesn't know Christ about how their Savior was born? Make no mistake, it doesn't matter if they've accepted him yet. He's still their Savior. And we who believe have got to share the story. We've got to share Christ's history and share the mystery. Look, to end 2020, I want all of us to look for ways to bring hope into people's lives. Find opportunities to share this wonderful mystery, to share the gospel with someone before 2020 ends. As a church, as Christians, we can make 2020 a great year for someone. Despite COVID, despite quarantines, even through all the loved ones who have been lost, students, even through hybrid learning, and yes, even through TP shortages, we can make 2020 the year they found Jesus. The year they had their epiphany like that farmer and realized they needed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This can be the year the mystery was revealed to them and the year they found the hope. The hope that overcomes every junky, terrible thing that's happened in 2020. And finally, once this year is over, we can say, as Christians, as brothers and sisters, as a family of believers, that we were part of a 2020 where God did amazing things instead of being part of a year remembered for fear, hate, anger, and divisiveness. If you've been around MCC for the past 9 months, you know that 2020 has been a year where God was present. If you don't believe me, I've got an example to share from you just this week. And I should have shared this last night, and God reminded me of it. This week, an old friend of mine's mother called me and said she had a 6-foot Christmas tree, pre-lit. Could someone use it? She had gotten a smaller tree. She didn't need the big tree anymore. And of course, with COVID, her grandkids weren't going to get to come over on Christmas and stuff. And so she wanted to give this tree to a family who could use it. And I said, I probably can take care of that for you. Give me some time. I texted my friend Rhonda back there. Her and her teachers are trying to get together a bunch of stuff for families. And at this point, I only knew that it was 22 families, or 22 kids, if I'm not mistaken, correct? I texted her, didn't take her 30 seconds. Oh yeah, we'll take the tree. She says, we're up to 27 now, kids and families we need to take care of. 27 families, what are we gonna do with that? I messaged my friend's mom right back, and she's like, man, that was quick. I said, God don't move slow. Went over and got it that night, and Rhonda took it home the next night and took it to a family of 8, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Family of 8. They were so happy. One little kid took a picture in front of the tree and everything, right, and sent it to his teacher immediately out of joy. Just by sharing an old tree. Because that's how God works. I ain't done. Kyle Jordan texts David and I, says, I got a friend who's got turkey, ham, he wants to get rid of. You know some families that can use it? Dave's like, I'll check. And I'm like, I'll check. Of course, I knew I was going to win. I texted Rhonda again. She's like, yeah. Rhonda's taking them tonight. Taking them. And guess what? Kyle got more than just one turkey and one ham. Got another turkey. Is that right? That's how God works. I don't care how bad 2020's been. God's been present. And God's been doing crazy, crazy, awesome things. And we've been a part of them right here. You can go to the Matters. I can go to what Stephanie wrote this week about Matters. They were so excited to get the rest of the mats. And they were going to use them as cots inside right now because they just don't have enough beds for everybody, correct? That's not Steph. That's not crackpots. That's God. We're just doing what he wants us to do, and then he's doing something with it. Sharing the gospel by making mats because we're sharing the love. Sharing the gospel by handing out turkeys, trees, the coats. Rhonda got some coats out of here that were still left to take to the families. She got bread that was left from the week before. She's taking some more. That's not Rhonda. That's not me. That's not Dave. It's not Kyle. That's God. That's the God we serve. Man, I'm telling you, I'm getting the goosies right now. Christmas Eve's going to be, woo! But look, folks, this year is going to be over soon. And it's 2020 is going to be an amazing year where God did stuff. And where God was moving. And we have to continue to do what we've always done and not let Satan attempt. He's going to attempt it, so we can't let him distract us and take our eyes off of him and his glory. So MCC, brothers and sisters, let's close out 2020 for him. Amen? Close out 2020 by sharing Christ's history and sharing the mystery. Who's with me? Amen. Let's pray.